Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Happy Sunday. We are here. We are doing it. You are watching the Showtime for the after show for Showtime's The Chi. We're talking episode 8 tonight. Brandon gets a food truck. What? And Ronnie drops off a dead guy. That and much more. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes.
Hey!
That's it.
And you say Shot City.
Good music. Good pick, Dominique. She chose this one.
You know,
good.
Common was in the episode.
Good,
good,
good.
We had to represent.
We had to represent.
I love it. Hey, everyone. Welcome
What's
to the
up?
Show. We got the full panel back.
Yes! Praise the Lord.
Doing all right. Doing a big. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in again. I'm Veronica Barriga.
Hi, Franceli Chaminer, and I'm back. Happy to be back.
Yeah. I can't roll my R's. But what's up,
guys? It's Drew Jones.
What's up? I'm Dominique Sarita, and we are back.
Yes. Well, guys, episode 8. Yes. There's only two more left.
Oh my gosh!
Oh my God.
What are you saying?
It went by so fast.
So fast.
It did,
and I'm
but it
so
didn't.
Sad. I missed two episodes.
It did, but it didn't.
Uh-oh. I'm like, it's dragging out. I'm ready to close it in.
Well, you know what's so funny? When they first announced the series, it was an 8-episode series.
Yep. Yes.
And then, yeah, a couple episodes later, they're like, okay, we're gonna,
gonna
know,
extend it. Give them a season 2. Come on now.
Yeah. And a season 2.
The people was here for. That's the people
what it
here
is.
For.
So because of season 2, anything could really go down at this point.
Anything.
Yeah, anything.
Anything's possible.
And I'm here for it.
They don't have to wrap it up. They're going to keep going. but yeah, what did you guys think overall thoughts? Episode 8.
Man, this is the most stressful episode. Like, the scene with Jake, which we can get into, and Reg, I literally kept looking at you guys like...
She did.
What's gonna happen? I was about to throw hands if something happened.
You're like, don't touch the baby.
Don't touch the baby. I've never been so stressed out in my whole life.
She's the mama. You're always trying to protect the baby.
Always.
I love this episode, honestly. I love the fact that you finally see Brandon getting his own and working for his own.
Yes!
And everybody like love a humble beginning. And that's like the best of a success story.
Being a snack and whatnot.
Okay.
Yes, he's a snackety snack.
Snackety snack.
Snackety snack. Nom, nom, nom.
And then I love to see the scene with Reg and Jake. Like, I just thought it was a great, great episode.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
The food truck was everything
that
for
was
me.
My favorite.
You know, when you walk in, you see the thing, you just, like, you light up, you see the potential.
Yep.
It's like a rough thing that, a project that you just want to sink your teeth into.
Yep.
And it really inspires that dreamer in me, you know, when I watch it. And, yeah, I love it.
It's a my vision.
My highlight, I guess, overall of the episode was brotherhood.
Yeah.
Whether it was good or bad, you know, Sonny and his brother, Jake and Reg, you know, the brotherhood of the young boys trying to look out for each other. Like, Jake, we don't want you to get hurt.
Yep.
The cousin and looking
Brandon.
Out for Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
That brotherhood. Like, I just kept seeing so much brotherhood in this episode. So that was, like, the overall arc for me this episode.
Yeah, it was. Oh yeah.
I was gonna say, and they actually was dropping jewels on like how to invest money and like the property value going down and things like that. I was like, yes, they're coming through with little small nuggets that we all need financially. So I was like, I love that.
The
part
revenue
too.
Stream. I want to say something. This is hilarious. So this is a true story. My little brother is 13 years old, and shout out to 13-year-old.
That's how old Big Papa is.
I see these kids and I think of my little brother, but anyway, my other brother, he's like an adult, but he came to visit my mom, and he stayed in my little brother's room, and my little brother charged him per night, like an Airbnb fee.
Yeah. No! Wow! Getting all the coins.
Okay.
Come on, securing
hustle.
The bag, okay? I'm not mad at
but
it.
But what he
I'm
doing
not...
his money, though? He's saving
and
it.
That's the thing. So I'm like... I don't know if you're like hustling our brother or if you're just like a smart entrepreneur type of kid.
You gotta hustle. Nowadays, you gotta hustle.
Anyway, it was funny. But
he'll learn from it, that's for sure.
He's probably gonna buy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Some, you know, cute shoes or like a little hoodie, something. I don't know. The fashion. That's all they do.
That's funny. I'm here for it.
Yeah. All right. So let's get right into it, guys. This really surprised me when Sunny took a moment to put the gun at Q. Yeah. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
I it was crazy to see the resentment. You know, he was almost angry that he had to do the right thing his whole life. And well, not angry at that, but angry that he's bringing this mess into a place where he's trying to be civil and do the right thing, like mm-hmm. we discussed last mm-hmm. weekend, yeah. you know, where he always sort of feels, I don't know, he feels like the odd man out in a world where you kind of get ahead by doing other things, mm-hmm. you know?
I feel like, first of all, Lena does everything, like scene Lena does, like, with a very specific reason, down yeah. to, like, the coloring of the room. And yes. I just thought it was so interesting, because I don't think he necessarily was resenting him for, like, being a good guy. I don't think Sonny regrets mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. I think it's that thing where, like, especially within, you know, the Black community and people of color in general, we're taught your family is your family no matter what.
Yes.
And you almost have to put your own well-being to mm-hmm. the side mm-hmm. to take care of your own. Mm-hmm. And so I love that Sunny is kind of like, nah, like, this is my establishment. I worked yeah. my ass off for this. You're not about to come up in here and ruin that for me. Like, get out of here.
Somewhere else.
And the fact that he threw his dad's whistle at Q kind of mm-hmm. as a signal of, like, this family thing is done. Like, it's over with. Like, I have respect for him. I understand yeah. that. You know, some family doesn't mean you get to abuse your, like, it doesn't mean you get to abuse a relationship.
Take advantage of it. And I think Sonny was like, enough is enough. You know, yeah, you gotta right. remember, Q did all of this and stored the guns in this man's restaurant. If something was to happen, they would have went to the restaurant. And mm-hmm. that's his career. He worked his whole life for that.
Yeah.
So Q does things that he doesn't necessarily think of that can hurt or harm someone else.
Yeah.
So I think that was Sonny. Sonny was just fed up, and I'm glad he did.
Yeah, I agree.
Point the gun to him. He wasn't going to shoot him. That's
yeah.
his brother.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he wanted to say, look, I'm not afraid of you. I had enough of your stuff. Get this and get mm-hmm. out of this. We are done. I'm done yeah. picking up where you left off.
I mean, I think the biggest lesson, because mm-hmm. what I love about good television is that, yes, they drop yeah. gems and jewels, and I think that no matter what title someone holds in your life, the most important thing for us to do as human beings is to prioritize mm-hmm. self and to love self. And I can only give from a full cup, not yep. an empty
yeah.
cup.
Yeah.
And if you continue to just take from me, it at some point, my vessel will be depleted.
Yep.
And so right. Sonny feels empty in this regard. And he's like, I have to put myself first. And I think that self-love
yep.
is so, so important, no matter who's in front of mm-hmm. you. And that whole saying, you know, blood is thicker than water, can get us in a lot of trouble sometimes.
Agreed.
You have yeah. to stand up for yourself, it too. Was, because if you don't say anything, in the long run, you're going to hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. So you have to stand up for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good moment. It was a powerful moment. And he was, like, in his own way, saying time mm-hmm. is up.
Yeah.
I'm done. You know? In his own way. Time is up for everyone.
Time's up,
yo. Oh, my goodness. But yeah, speaking of that whole mess, you know, Q and Reggie, this was just like the story that sort of never ended. It kept going this dark hole, and then I'm like, is he recruiting him? Is he threatening him? I'm a little unsure about where it's going, but do you think he's obviously recruiting him, or is that something that's still up in the air for you guys?
No, but Reggie is kind of stupid. Like, I'm like, as tough as you think you are,
yeah.
and it just goes to the fact that we was always talking about the young versus the old.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a hothead. He's such just ready just to hurt. And it's like, this man is actually helping you out if you can just pay attention. He's not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
He's still being a hothead, still trying to shoot and kill. But how can you be so easily to kill somebody without getting the information? You know what I'm saying? So you're just killing to kill. You're not going to get anything out of it, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, He is so hot-headed and young and dumb. That's the definition of young and dumb.
Yeah.
It frustrates me watching it.
But I do kind of think that he sees some sort of potential in Reg still. Like, uh-huh. Because I feel like if he didn't, Reg would be dead. Right. Like, it would just be kind of like...
No, well, he's using him. Well, he's trying to get more information. Well, he don't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't know still who killed the son. He doesn't, like, it's still a lot of things he doesn't know that he needs Reggie to tell.
But,
him.
I mean, I feel like he got a lot of information out of him in this episode. Mm-hmm. And the episode could have ended with him just kind of, like, washing his hands of him. I think he's almost, because we saw him kind of, like, invest in Emmett a little bit. And I feel like Emmett is kind of the, not Tep. Tep is the one that. It gets handsy, right, in his crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
BJ's the smart one. I feel like BJ and Emmett kind of have some similarities. I feel like Reg is kind of like the hands-on guy, kind of like Tep. I feel like he's making a younger version. Like, I feel like we're going to see him piece together a younger group that's, like, the versions of the older group. I don't think he's going to just, like, I don't know. I think Reg might be flipping sides.
Well, here's the thing. That's... Here's the thing. You know, he's made it clear many times that the older generation does things differently. Mm-hmm. And from the very beginning, he's like, there was a time where we protected the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Yes, we did what we did, but people didn't get hurt that weren't involved with what we were involved in. So, to a certain degree, he's not going to kill just to kill, which is what we're all saying. At the same time, though... What we fail to do, I believe, in general, across the board, is really talk to our elders. There's so much knowledge in our elders. Mm-hmm. There's so much that they know, and we don't take the time to hear that wisdom while they're still here. And he's dropping a lot of wisdom on the game. He used to run stuff before anybody else was there. So here's he saying, he sent you to kill me, and as soon as you kill me, he's going to send someone to kill you because you've already shown to be disposable. And I just felt like, as much as Reggie might be angry, if he puts his ego to the side, he will realize this man is right. And listen, it's doggy dog world, and it's Charles. It's like survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
And at this point, in order to survive, he might have to switch sides.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he's not helping. Q's not helping him to be. He is like not a good guy, but he does watch out for the kids, you know, if you will. But he's doing it for his own. You know, he's got his own motives.
Oh, for sure.
And yeah, so it's not because he's manipulating. He's playing mind tricks, and he's really good at it.
Yes,
he thinks things through. He probably won a good chess game.
Hello?
Hello. He won the hood chess game. Yeah, he conquers the whole side of that.
Even in the episode, I want to say it's Reg that says, "You know, this isn't a game." And Q says, "Of course it is." Like, it's just I don't know. It's very Q's very interesting character to watch because just like I've never been so like in awe and like. Admiration but also terrified of a character like Q's just smile he even broke like fourth wall in one of the scenes and I felt like he was staring like directly at me when he was saying a line and all he said was something like I like Italian but it freaked me out because I was like you're such a scary character like
he's
so
intelligent he's calm but he's also a villain but he's also likable that's some good acting right there
very calculating
shout out to that actor
initially I also think that every bad person has good things in them you know what I'm saying because it's a little bit of relatable it's a little bit of understanding like you understand why somebody do certain things so they're not necessarily bad it's just you can understand it so you don't agree with it, but I understand it.
And I think the interesting thing about Q is, like, he's so well put together.
He is.
But then he'll drop these little gems of, like, just straight thug. Like, said, what did he say to Reg? He said, if that were me, I would have shot you in front of your girl and then...
Do your mother.
And then done her just for good measure. Like... That is some cold.
Yeah,
that's some cold stuff. Like
he doesn't want you to forget he's boss. Not even for half a second.
Right, that part.
But what about little Jake? So he gives him the knife. That was intense, man. I didn't know what was gonna go down.
I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe.
Jake like stab his own brother. That's what I thought was gonna happen. I was like, oh no, I got to turn this off.
I was ready for the worst.
Somewhere else.
Listen, I was freaking out. Like, I really kept looking at them, like, what is about to happen? I'm about to stop watching this show if something bad happens. Right.
And I'm like, man, I wish he would have just stayed with his friends just a little bit longer. Just stay on their couch. I should just went back in the house. But And it goes back to that thing, you know, your mom be like, being at the wrong place at the right time, or the right place at the wrong time. It just went back to that. But I'm like, oh my goodness gracious.
Ooh, I'm still like, I'm not so glad over
he
it.
Didn't have Jake do that dirty work.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was calculated. I think he was just building up the fear. He wanted to see how everybody was and, you know, see their fear level with everything. Yeah. That's all.
I think Jake's still far enough out that he's not fully immersed in it yet. And I think there's still a chance for him to, like, back out. And I kind of hope that this is... his, like, wake up call. To, like, chill.
To back up. Okay, I was going to say, what will it take for him to sort of open his eyes? Because right now he's into it. It's cool. You know, I think he wants to...
If he loses.
Yeah, I mean, he just saw his brother, you know, beat up at a table, and I'm pretty sure he probably thought something bad was about to happen. So I'm hoping this and, like, the little pep talk with Papa and Kevin will be, like, the, okay, let me just be a 12-year-old and chill.
It's interesting. I think it can go one or two ways, right? You're either, like, I got to step it up now, and I got to protect my brother, and I got to sort of... continue this lineage, if you will, and the other one is I'm scared, I gotta get out. But I think it can go the other way too.
Well, I hope Emmett get out, because he's just not for the game, and he's already scared. He can't even take the, like, I just want him to stop right now. I'll say,
you can't even take on your baby mama's new man, so I'm gonna need you not to
back out of it.
I was like, you're not about to back down to this white skin Tyrese, like.
But you are not bad boy material, is what we're saying, right?
But Emmett is just so naive, because he's like, what do you think I do? Speaking of Q, Q was like, what do you think I do? And Emmett was like, I mean, you hustle. He was like, I don't hustle. I run shit.
Yeah.
And he's just like, Emmett, like, he's such a naive little kid.
He
he doesn't think everything through, and he's trying to be... bounce his way around situations. He's not straight to the point type of person. So I feel like this isn't really for him, but I also feel like he's going to get way in caught up. Like, I feel like Jake, if anything, Jake probably can get out, but I think Emmett, he's just going to go full in.
Really?
By accident. Yeah, by accident. He's going to get wrapped up by accident.
I could see that, especially
that's for season two.
With the child support thing now being something that's being held over his
head. He don't need the money, the income. Yeah. Sonny not making no money there, you know?
I could see him getting into that.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I mean, I'm not really, like, on the woman's side or the man's side, but for her to sort of hold that, I think that's a common thing that happens for women, to try to control the situation or get back at their man through the kid or through demanding child support. I mean, I get it. Yes, she does need child support, but she could also meet him halfway and maybe let him get his shit together before she takes the baby. That's cold. I don't like that.
But I also understand, like, from the opposite point of view, like, you've literally been in this kid's life for 2 weeks. Like, I carried this baby. I've been raising this baby.
Yeah,
I didn't do it. But, like, quality time is great, but quality time also doesn't keep a roof over your head.
But he's trying. That's the thing, though. He was trying, so...
Can I just say that I felt for a lot longer than 2 weeks?
Yes.
Much stuff happens in 2 weeks.
Right, exactly.
That 2 weeks is not a regular 2 weeks.
Right?
Like,
yes.
This is crazy.
She's not aware of what he's done in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
She wasn't around. She didn't see. So it's kind of, people always operate from their level of perspective, knowledge, you know.
Or assumptions. And those are dangerous.
Yes. Yeah. For sure.
Came soon, man.
I feel like it's one of those situations where they think they're putting the baby first, but I feel like they're putting their interest
ego the baby first. Plays such a role.
Yeah.
And, like, I hope, because I don't know, there's something real sketchy going on with her and light-skinned Tyrese. That's just, well, I'm going to name him.
Oh, my God, light-skinned.
But there's something real weird going on there. I don't know if I trust that fully.
Right.
She seems a little drugged out to me.
Oh, really?
Damn. So I'm like,
okay.
She's into something, because she said that. She was like, what if... You don't know what I was going through. For her to just disappear off the face of the earth for literally two weeks.
The doors open.
Something must be going on.
The doors open. The baby's sitting on the floor by himself. You're in another room. Like, there's something.
It's either... I don't... Honestly, I didn't think drugs. I think that man's her pimp.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
No.
Unfortunately. Because she has to figure out a way to support her child on her own.
Yep. See, and that makes sense, but that's just like... Oh, that breaks me. I hate that. Yeah. That's real life. That is tough.
So, I think that that's what's going on.
Quick little story. This is really funny, though. I was actually in an Uber, and I seen a girl on the side of a corner. Her dress was, like, raised up. And I was like, oh, man, I wanted to, like, go help her out. And then I literally called my dad. I was like, Dad, you think I should, like, give her some money or, like, try to give her, you know, get a ride? Like, I can offer you a ride. My father was like, what if she was on a corner and she had a pimp somewhere? Now you putting yourself in a whole different position. I was like, oh, I didn't think about that. But literally, young girls are being pimped out. And that's a real situation, you know? Like, it happens, and you want to help, but people got to find their own way to survive. And once they're wrapped up in it, it's like, no way, man. Money, the way America runs, is like you almost need money to do anything, and it's just, it can go either way.
And a need for money will convince you to do some sketchy things you never thought that you were going to do. Mm-hmm.
That's real.
Absolutely. But speaking of coming in some money, they sold the house. Brandon got a food truck.
Brandon got a food truck. What kind of food you got that he gonna start making?
Mexican food. Tacos. Hello. I don't know. I hope so. That's my hope. Listen, with Luis.
Yes. I love this moment. This is like honestly my favorite part of the show because it just shows like sometimes in life, like you gotta take the smallest things and make it big. And as long as you want something, you know, it's yours, you have the vision for it, it's going to be a success because you just have that passion for it, you know. And this ugly little clown food truck, and he's just so excited to have it, and I'm happy for him.
I concur. Also, my boo Hannibal was in this episode, so you already know I was very happy. But no, I just loved that one, Mr. Wu.
Yes.
I just like, I was so interested in that whole scene, that whole situation, Mr. Wu, the closet, the whole rundown about like side hustles and revenue and yada, yada, yada. Like, I don't know. That was just such an enjoyable scene. I love any scene with Hannibal and Brandon because I feel like it's so, it's like there's so much truth in all the conversations they have, but it's such a lighthearted thing that like you're consuming all of it and you're like processing it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I can see Hannibal running like a Fortune 500 company. Yeah. Like he's really got something that you can't necessarily teach.
Right.
You know, he's got that natural instinct and he's smart. He's quick. Yeah.
But he's self-aware and he takes time for himself clearly. Because remember, he was talking about the whole home situation. Yeah. Remember? And a lot of times when people are so in tune with themselves, they're not thrown off by worldly things, by money, by distractions. They're also helping others to make those things. So
absolutely.
That's what you see in him.
In 2018, multiple streams of income are so important for anyone nowadays. Like, no one can, I mean, what is being shown in the news and if you listen to podcasts and stuff like that when it comes to finance, there are so many people that cannot afford to live anywhere anymore. So people are hustling all types of different situations. So I really appreciate that. And speaking of multiple streams of income, I got to give a special shout out to our boss lady, Maria Menounos.
Yes. If you want to
have listen, if you want to have fun, if you want to learn, you want to grow in all areas of your life, for those who do, we have the podcast for you, y'all. Like, Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and it drops every Friday on iTunes. So be sure to listen to that. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets on tips on how to be better on all aspects of your life, from health and wellness to career to relationships, finances, all that stuff. So let our Maria be your big sister, just like she's a big sister to us right here. And a big sister that you never had. So just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos. It's free, y'all. You're tuning into us. Tune into her. Yes. She's the boss lady. Yes. She keeps us here. So be sure to rate, comment, and when you do, let Maria know that it was us who got you there. The Shy right here. After us. Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition. Check it out.
I want to check that out.
You know,
right? Every Friday.
How did you slide that in there? And shout outs to our Black Jones, who's in the chat with us. We really appreciate you guys hanging out with us.
That's our Dominique. Another Dominique.
That's another Dominique. Yes. Hey, Dominique. What's up?
I'm curious, Black Jones, what was your favorite moment of the episode? Yes. If you could let us know in the chat, we'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about the intervention. I called it an intervention, but they're trying to have a little intervention with Jake, right?
Yes.
The kids coming together.
Yes. Would you? Okay,
that
so
was cute.
But in general, ladies, what do you think about intervention? Do you think that really works? Do you find it that it works in your life? Have you done an intervention?
Ooh.
Ooh, I like the question.
I'm like,
no, they did an intervention on my aunt one time. It did work, but long time, it didn't work. It worked for the moment.
Yes.
And then eventually she went back into her own thing. Now, this is the thing with intervention. I feel like the person who you're trying to intervene on, they need to be well prepared and know what's going to happen, because the person can only change.
So ambushing them is not a good tactic.
No. It's going to get their attention. They're going to sit. But if they don't want change from themselves, it's not going to stick. It's not going to be consistent change.
You can lead the horse to the water. You can't make them drink it.
I also think a big part of intervention is being willing to follow up with that person. If you're willing to intervene, then you need to be willing to walk along that
accountability.
Yeah, you need to be walking down that path with
them.
Because it's very easy to stray away from it. So I think, you know, which obviously I think Jake or Kevin and Papa, you know, that's their best friend. I think they're clearly going to be walking along.
They're
committed. But with interventions in general, I think you can't just be like, hey, stop it, cut it out, we love you, and then just kind of let them be free.
Yeah, I also think you have to personalize the intervention. It's such a big moment, you know, and you're trying to accomplish a lot. It's such a deep situation that's happening, and there's so many layers to address, so you really have to personalize it for who you're coming at and understand how they're going to respond, and if they, you know, get triggered, or, you know, some people you come at them the wrong way, so you got to be very cautious about how you're approaching somebody. And actually I do want to say, you know who you are. Somebody tried to have an intervention with me.
Ooh! That is getting good.
It just got juicy on the shy, y'all. It just got juicy.
But the thing is, I didn't need an intervention, so
that's what they all say.
That is their denial.
Somebody.
But I just want to say, as a PSA, if you're going to go and have an intervention with somebody, make sure that they actually need one. And that's all I got to say about that.
Speaking of needing things, Black Jones and Dominique, I absolutely agree with you. The best part was Papa getting the tampons in the grocery store.
It was epic.
Listen, I was dead. Like, I was on the floor. I thought that was so funny. I had a friend growing up, shout out to Keegan Chandler, my homeboy, who, like, was just way overly comfortable with everyone's moms and would, like, would have conversations like that. And I remember my mom would always be like, because Keegan lived, like, a block away from me, so we'd come home from school together, and I'd walk in, and she'd be like, are those boys with you? And, like, 2 seconds later, Keegan would be like, hi, Mrs. Jones.
I love it.
And my mom would just roll her eyes, and he was always all up in her business. And I just feel like Papa is everything to me.
Yeah.
Stanley. Little Stanley.
Given that this is an all-female panel, because this is a really important topic for me, how important do you think it is for men to be informed about our cycles, like shopping for us, and not necessarily even like a boyfriend, but like fathers, brothers, uncles, how important do you think that is?
I think it's so important. My dad used to be freaked out by it. I don't understand why it's literally
it's
three
natural.
Girls plus my mama. I never understood that. So sometimes we get so, our cramps are so intense that we can't do anything by ourselves, so we need that help.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't understand why you got to be ashamed. We know the tampons ain't for you. You ain't sticking nowhere. So why are you so embarrassed to get them?
Tell him, Dominique.
Well, my mom was a lot like, you know, Kevin's mom, and would, like, send my brothers and stuff. Like, she was just like, nah, like, she's a nurse. She's like, it's biology. Get over it.
Yes.
You know, like, my brothers, I'm so proud of them. I feel like they're the most respectful men now. Because they'll go get their girlfriends tampons and stuff like that. Because they get it. They grew up in a house full of girls. Like, it's, I don't know. It's,
well,
like, it's not weird to me. Like, I just feel like it's so weird that we've, like, somehow managed to, like, sexualize the female body, but also shame the female body.
Yeah.
So,
oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's
don't
just,
get
like, yeah, don't get me started. Like public breastfeeding. Oh my God.
Even when you say like little things like, oh, I'm leaking or I'm bleeding or something like that, they get so grossed out. I'm like, why are you getting grossed out?
But not little Papa, he'll be there for you with the right tampon.
I really appreciated that.
The cardboard. The applicators.
Yeah. I appreciated that Papa said that he's like, man, like, they, when they're around each other enough, like,
they sink.
I was like, yes. Because it's so, again, it's so important for people to have that awareness and that knowledge, because the same way I feel women pay attention to a man's mood swings and where they're at and how they're feeling in order to take care of them, if you knew what was happening, right. Oh, if you know mine's coming in a week or 2 weeks, then you know I'm being moody the week before.
you benefit from it. Men benefit from being informed about the woman they're around.
Yeah. You know, this like helps you care everyone. More too. You know, like you notice me. You understand that part.
Well, actually, a legit study was done, and cramps are compared to being equally as painful as heart attacks. So we're not making this up. That joint is painful.
Right.
But, like, you know, I just feel like it's so interesting. Like, we, like, the culture, especially, you know, people of color, like, we've been taught so much to, like, constantly monitor how men feel and how, you know, to tend to their needs and stuff. Yeah. And this is something that happens to us monthly, and it sucks. And so I'm just so happy that, like, it's just another thing that Lena drops in there and just, like, go ahead and chew on this knowledge real quick. And I'm just here for the normalization of the female body.
And the normalization of having two moms in the house. Yeah. I love how sweet was that little moment. It was a little moment. They didn't make a big deal out of it, you know. But like you say, the little gems that she puts in there. And, you know, well, it's okay. What? So I have two moms. Not a big deal. Like, what? It's so so precious to
you know, another
see
little
it.
Moment I loved as well is when they had a group conversation. It was with Chauncey. It was with Ronnie and them. They were talking about what they wanted to be when they grow up, and everybody said what they wanted to be, and he said Chauncey probably wanted to be a doctor, and you know what, he went to school, he got his degree, he ended up being a doctor. And that, to me, it kind of like made me a little sad a little bit, because I'm like, why, as young black people, when we dream, our dreams got to be so far-fetched? Like, if I want to be a lawyer, why look like I can't pursue to be actual a lawyer? If he said he wanted to be a doctor. He went to school. He made it happen. Why can't we do what we got to do to make it happen as well? Like, that, it hurt my heart. I was like, oh, man. Like,
I feel that.
Because sometimes even when people are talking about what they want to be, some people shy down to it, and they actually lower what they really want to be because they are scared of the expectations. Yeah.
That's why the representation on TV and in the media and in everything is so important, because if you don't have those role models in real life, where do you go to seek your role models? In the media, you know, as singers, as writers, as activists, as everything. And so when you see, you know, you guys know this, when you see somebody that looks like you on TV, it's a powerful thing that can actually impact and change society and inspire these kids to think, I can be a doctor, I can be a lawyer, I don't have to be, I don't know, maybe a stereotype, but you know, whatever, a rapper, athlete, or a football player.
What were y'all trying to be when you were little? What did you want to be when you grew up?
I want to be a doctor.
Really?
Did you?
I would love to have you as a doctor.
I love people. I love helping people and caring for people. Like, that's the core of me. So
you would be such a thoughtful doctor. You'd be a good one.
I'll be a turned up one.
Turned up doctor.
Would you want to be Drew?
I wanted to be a librarian, but I was also convinced that I could do comedy on the side. Whoa. So I wanted to be like a librarian by day, stand-up comedian by night.
Oh my God, I love it.
I'm doing part of that, so not the library part. You have to get a degree to be a librarian. I didn't know that when I was little.
Do you really?
Yes.
I used to in my whole chair.
Librarians have to.
Yeah, they do. They make bang.
They make good money.
I
used to go back and forth between. I used to have like the tape recorder with the microphone that was multicolored, and I used to run around interviewing my aunts and uncles. So I thought I was going to be a news reporter, which you know, to a certain degree, I do that now. And I also believed that I was going to be Janet Jackson's backup dancer.
Yeah.
So I used to set up the entire house with Rhythm Nation, and I was like going in.
Oh my God.
It was serious. It was serious.
Best
what about
ever.
You?
I did want to be a lawyer. It's so funny that you said that. I just love arguing as a little kid. I would be like, why? Why are you saying that? Explain that to me. And not just
that's why you're a good interviewer. Because you want to know the why.
You want to know
so
all the
curious.
Yeah.
So I just want to know more, but that's fun.
I love that. And it's so funny because we was talking about how Lena reflects and give an opportunity. So when people see the show, they see Chicago in a different way.
Yes.
And now Lena is giving that same opportunity to other people because she just signed a deal to Sight Unseen Productions.
I'm so excited
Where she's
going to
have a production deal. She's going to help writers up and come in. They're going to get independent films the proper budget to make all-star movies.
Unstoppable.
And that amazing.
I love it.
Unstoppable.
I love it.
This is amazing.
Lena, I'm sending you my script.
Yeah, right? Because she's a writer and she's an actor. She's the bomb, y'all. Actually, went to go see her play. She's really, really good.
Oh, thank y'all.
She did so good, y'all.
I told y'all. I put it in the group chat.
I'm fake. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm big fake. Also, this is a little off topic, but can I just say I'm really happy that Jerrica and Brandon are kind of back together.
Yes!
That is the best topic. But did you feel like she, in the beginning, was kind of hinting about Sarah? Because I felt like when they were in the kitchen in that, like, in the beginning of
the
show.
Like, why did you quit?
Yeah, I felt like she was just like, did you realize some things? And I was like,
ooh.
Does it have to do with Sarah?
Well,
she's
she
trifling, Jerrica. I told him she was trifling. I didn't want it. But he did it.
Wow.
Yeah. They just need to get married already. Wow. I'm ready for that.
Yeah,
right? They're meant to be together.
Maybe.
Yeah, season two wedding.
Black Jones wants to know if Lena attended the Oscars tonight.
Yes, she did.
She was at the
Vanity Fair Oscars watch party. The thing with the Oscars is it's really, the theater is not as big as it looks on television. Mm-hmm. So if it's really, really hard to like get a ticket to that show. So yeah, but they have all these other watch parties that celebrities get invited to that they get to sit in. So yes, Lena is at the Vanity Fair Oscars watch party.
Oh, snap, y'all. This just in.
Oh, yes, this just in. I saw it.
The Shape of Water won. Wait.
Jordan won. Jordan won.
No
Jordan
way.
Jordan Peele won. Yes.
Best picture.
Yes. Wait, what, really? It just happened.
Wow.
I'm getting text messages.
Oh, thank goodness, because I just saw a Shape of Water one. I was about to flip this table over. Start out here.
Well, he won for screenplay.
Yeah.
But,
wait, so did he win?
Shape of Water won for
Best Picture, unfortunately.
Flip the table.
Unfortunately.
It's all right.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's what happened.
I'll focus on another good moment.
Did anybody see that?
What?
Shape of Water?
No,
I did watch it.
Okay.
I did. It was weird.
Yeah.
It was awkward. I'm not going to lie. It was awkward. The feeling I just had thinking that Get Out won for a second and then going back was how I felt during the show with the whole Jake and Q.
Yes. You're on an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah,
that's what The Shy did for us. Oh, and guys, be sure to tweet Lena because Lena, although she's at the Vanity Fair watch party, she's asking folks to tweet what your favorite moments of the episode were. So go ahead and tweet at Lena Waithe.
Yeah. This is her baby. Back to you.
She's good at that.
Yeah, she's great at that. Yeah.
She'd be liking all my DM messages. I'd be like, Lena.
What's up, girl?
She'd be like, hearts. Lena just liked your message. I'm like, thanks, girl.
XOXO. But yeah, really quick, let's touch on there was an OD this episode, which is also, you know, very real and sad when they were talking about what they wanted to be.
Yes.
And then minutes later, he's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
He is done. And the way that they actually had it ending was that Ronnie actually had to take him home to his wife, and the wife found him in the car dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was such a random, not random, but I just thought that was such an interesting little, like, thing to throw in. And also, I just want to say real quick, I love Meldrick. I want him in. I just feel like this show has such strong secondary characters, and Meldrick is just a perfect example of that. Just every scene with him, I was like, I'm obsessed with you. I love you.
And the frogs and the birds and the crows. He's otherworldly. But, let's talk predictions. What do you ladies think?
Predictions. Really, really quick. I just hope that they find the killer who actually killed Jason. That's the only thing I'm waiting for as far as predictions.
Yeah.
Because the season is wrapping up. What you think?
Yeah. I still think the cop is the one who shot Jason.
Oh, right. Without a doubt.
Wallace.
That's my prediction.
I feel like we're going to see Ronnie go on, like, you know, his path to redemption. I feel like, you know, we kind of see him reflecting on things with Meldrick, and then we see him, you know, kind of break down with Common's character.
Yeah.
And I hope we continue to see him, like, get his act together, because I'm tired of you limping around. So I need you in one piece, and I need you doing better.
Yeah.
And then maybe you can go work it out with Tracy, but for now I just need you
get it together, girlfriend.
To get it together.
Boyfriend.
I predict that Sarah's going to find out about Jason's food truck. She's going to try to come help in some kind of way. Chef's going to be like, what, and inquire. And then Chef's going to find out about what happened between them. That's my prediction.
Mm-hmm. Wow. come on, that damn, now you got me thinking. but no, I actually, it's kind of funny because I'm the opposite with the, you said you want to find a solution or you mm-hmm. think we're going to find out who the killer was.
Right.
I actually think because she's so genius and the writing is so great that it might end on the note where we don't find out mm-hmm. and it's never solved because that is real life.
Yes.
Yeah. And yes. unfortunately, yes. Yep. these things move on, but the effect that it has on everyone still continues. Yeah. So, right. That's true. I don't know. That's my
true. That's real good. Impressed. That's really good.
That's good.
And all right, V, you better get it, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Real quick, I also think Ronnie may die. I'm just going to put that out there. And oh. I think that he's going to wait until he relieves his burdens and make things right, with make amends with himself, oh. and then he may die.
And die yeah. peacefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
that is.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
But speaking of peacefully, y'all, we want y'all to join in next Sunday.
That's
talking
right.
about the show.
Yes, we are here every Sunday, 8 p.m. You can find us at AfterBuzz TV Dramas on YouTube. That is our channel. We're yeah. there.
Make sure to comment, like, share it. Yes. Listen to us on iTunes, yes. too.
We're on iTunes. We're everywhere.
While you're at the gym.
We are everywhere, folks. Once again, I'm Veronica Briga. You can catch me on social media at Veronica B Online.
Hi, I'm Franceli Chamin, you know, your favorite Afro-Latina. You can hang out with me at all things as Selly Hangouts.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Drew Jones. I love that you guys tweet your theories to me, so keep doing Aww. It. You can follow me on all the things at OK Drew J.
And thank you for joining us. I'm your friend Dominique Sarita, and you can buzz me at all things at Dominique Sarita.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye for watching. See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.